Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend Megan Smalley. Megan and I both have a huge heart for sisterhood and friendship, and Megan is telling us a little bit more about her story through infertility and why she shares the way she does, and then how she continues to champion for other women as they fight to grow their families. Megan and I talk all about grace and truth and a few questions that we just need to stop asking people, straight up stop asking these questions. I love sitting down with Megan and laughing, and I just love her heart so much. If you're struggling with infertility, give Megan a follow on social media. Listen to her podcast, follow her on all things. She's here to encourage you. She also gives us some great advice on how to be good friends to those who are struggling on this journey. So if you're not struggling with infertility, Megan's got some good stuff for us. This conversation is for everyone. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited. I get to sit down with a real life friend of mine, and this is just the best because Megan is just one of my favorites. So Megan, hey, welcome to It's Time for Coffee.
Thank you for having me. I just love getting to, I get to see your face. Everyone else doesn't get to see your face. And this is just fun. Really fun.
So fun. I feel like we're so close, but so far away. Because I know that you're like up in like Texas area every once in a while, and I can never get to you.
I know. So my family is from Houston, for those of y'all that don't know me. But I live in Auburn, Alabama. But we load the kids up, and we're actually coming next week. But so it's like feels so close yet so far.
I know. And between you and Holly, like the three of us, I'm like, we just have to get together soon. Like we need a little reunion. So for those, I guess let's give some backstory. Megan and I met at a Trailblazer retreat, basically, which is like a business intensive put on by Micah May. That was 2 years ago.
That seems so crazy to me. I mean, on one hand, it feels like yesterday, but then I'm like, wow, I've lived a lot of life since then.
Same. I just love that that weekend kind of rooted a deep connection between the three of us, but also just you and I. Yes. And we've gotten to talk so many times, just podcasting and business and just life in general. And then you have this beautiful new book out, which we'll talk some about. And I just love what you're doing, and I love your heart for like this sisterhood and friendship. So I'm just excited that you're on the podcast today. So thank you for hanging out.
Well, it's like fun to schedule a time to just chat because I think we need to do this more often. I mean, it's been a while since we've gotten to like really catch up like deeply, and it's all good.
So good. Okay, first, as per usual, I have to ask you, what's in your cup? What are you drinking this morning?
Coffee, duh. I recently have, I don't know if you ever went through this, but like I just had my third kid in the fall, and all of a sudden my body is like hates gluten and dairy. Never had a problem with it my entire life. Blake's like, oh, all of a sudden you're just like allergic to gluten and dairy. I'm like, I don't know, hormones, like I'm telling you, they're crazy. And so it's coffee with oat milk. This is like my first day to try oat milk. I've been doing oat milk creamer. I've been doing almond milk, but yeah, it's good.
I need to know, I prefer oat milk over almond milk.
I'm really liking it. It doesn't feel so or taste so like nutty to me.
I didn't think almond milk was like nutty until I switched over to oat milk, and oat milk froths really nicely. Okay. And it gives you that good like, here's the coffee side of me, like honestly. Like it gives you that heaviness coffee. Like I want my coffee to sustain me as a meal.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. And so I need like that. A frother. I don't have one, but
I just have a little buzzer, like a zzzz.
Okay. That's cool.
It's really great. It's on Amazon.
Okay, you need to send me yeah. that link.
I will. I'll put it in my Amazon shop. Amazon storefront.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. That's so fun. So, yes, you just had your third little boy.
Yes,
in the
we
fall.
Are an all-boy family. It's wild and crazy. I have 3.5-year-old twins. And then, well, they're almost four. They'll be four in August. And then James is my little sweetie pie, and he is 7 months old. And I tell everyone, if all babies came out like James, this world would be overpopulated. But that's why God gives us Stishers. So Stisher is a family name. He's one of my twins, and he came out a firecracker. Mm-hmm. And so God gives us kids like Stisher to be like, whoa. Whoa, let's pump the brakes.
But I just love how your boys all look exactly the same. Like, that's even so the twins, funny. Obviously. But, like, even when I see James in photos, I'm like, oh my gosh, they look, I mean, they look like brothers, obviously. But I have two boys. One looks like Jesse, one looks like me. I don't think my twins
look a thing alike. So it's really funny to hear other people's perspective. Like, I think they look so different, and they're very different in size. And I think James is like the connector between my twins. Yeah, I think he makes them look more related. But I also see him every day. So like it's sure. interesting that like to hear when people think they look alike. I'm like, that's so interesting.
That's so funny. Someone just told us the other day that Titus looks just like me. And Jesse and I both like gasped. We're like, what? And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, no, it's not a bad thing. It's just weird. Nobody says that. Like, yeah. Nobody says we look alike. And she's like, oh, I see it. And I'm like, well, that's great. I'm sure Titus would love to say that he looks like his mom. But
I know everyone tells me James looks just like Blake. And like the rare few tell me he looks like me. And I'm like, can you tell me again, please? Because all I hear is that he looks just like Blake.
Can you say it on video so I can like watch this on loop?
Yes, exactly. I'm like, I just carried him and birthed him and kept him alive with my body for 7 months. It's fine.
Yeah. So tell us just a little bit, because I know your story, and these boys are hard fought for.
Yes.
They are. I always tell people I believe in names, like the meaning of names.
Yes.
Mostly because Jeanette means God's gracious gift. If my name meant something stupid, I would not believe in names, you know. But my mom and dad tried for 5 years to have me. So my big sister's 5 years older than me. And so I know I was hard fought for. Like, I know that that I am God's gracious gift to my parents, to my family.
So cool.
I remind them all the time that I am God's gracious gift to our family. And so yes. I want you to tell us about like your gracious gift. These boys are such a gift. They're so hard fought for. And I just think you have a beautiful story.
Well, thank you. We got married, and I'll give you the short version. Like 2 years later, we're like, okay, we're ready. And it just wasn't happening. We tried for 6 months, and I just knew something was wrong. My parents had no fertility issues, and so we sought testing and met with a specialist, and he basically sat us down. I was 27 years old and told us IVF was our only option to have biological kids, and I was like, what? It was that moment in life where you're like, this is shocking and not at all what I thought my life was going to be like. And so that began a long process of infertility. And we actually went through IVF and got 3 embryos, transferred them all, and it didn't work. Paid $15,000 out of pocket. And I have, in that same phone call that the doctor called to tell me I wasn't pregnant, told me that I needed donor eggs to try again. And I was just blindsided. I mean, we had basically flushed 15 grand down the toilet. My heart was shattered into a million pieces and didn't even know where to go from there. And so thankfully we pushed pause because we didn't have another 15 grand. And so I just like started the process of healing and repairing my heart. And it was really the hardest 2 years of my life because I just felt so broken and not sure where to go from there. And fast forward, we did a fundraiser through my business, Scarlet and Gold, to pay for IVF again, changed doctors, praise God, and went through IVF again 2 years later with my own eggs. And in one round of IVF, we got 6 embryos. And we have three beautiful boys and we have two embryos left on ice. So it, yeah, I look at my boys and know with full confidence that they were always God's plan, and but they were not my plan. My plan was to have kids a long time ago and never really thought I'd be like a boy mom and never thought I'd be like in the thick of parenting in my mid-30s because let's be real, I'm tired. but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, I just, they are such a reminder, even on the hard days, that God's plan is best. And I just, God took me through some really hard stuff to get here. And I never want to forget that pain because it has shaped me into who I am today and made me so much more empathetic for what people are walking through. And I think that's a gift, a real gift. So yeah, it's yeah, kind of a synopsis.
I love that. That was perfect. I just can't imagine how brokenhearted, but also broken you must have felt when the doctor's like, hey, this is your only option. Like, yeah. You're like, no. Like, I'm sorry, I'm young.
Like, IVF should be your last resort.
Yes.
And you're telling us that's like our first and only option. Yeah, it was... I just like, it, you know, you probably have been in one of those moments, whatever the circumstances are, where you're just like sitting there and they're talking at you and you can hear nothing that they're saying because you're just like in such shock. And yeah. I mean, that's what it was like for me. I was just like, what? Can you tell me that again? Because I didn't hear you the first six times.
Yeah. I need you to do this all one time. So your faith played a huge role in this, like putting the pieces back together, I'm sure, because the pieces go back together and it looks nothing like the plan that you initially thought, right? So
right.
You're putting pieces back together of a puzzle that looked one way and it's like a whole nother picture.
Yeah. And like the healing journey was hard and long and it felt like, you know, one step forward and two steps back. But yeah, I mean, I think just clinging to what I knew to be true, which like... It was like in those moments that I was like, Megan, okay, do you believe the Bible is true or not? And if you do, you have to stand on these facts of scripture, whether you feel it or not. And yeah. You may not feel like God is good. You may not feel like there is going to be beauty from these ashes. But if I say that I believe this is true, then I have to walk it out. Like, and yeah. Not just walk it out when things are good. And that's when it's easy to walk it out. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of, and then also like identifying what is not true too. Like, I think the world, especially in like the Christian world, sometimes makes you feel like you have to be everyone's friend and you have to let everyone into your inner circle. And that's not what scripture says. Like, there are such yeah. things as toxic people and people who do not lift you up. And especially when you're in a season of grief, we are called to love people and to love our enemy and to pray for others. But that does not mean they get a voice in our life. And so I think boundaries are important. And I learned that through infertility because I had some friends who loved me really well and gave me the space to process and heal through that. But then I had people who were pretty terrible and selfish and could not understand what I was feeling and didn't even try to understand that. And I had to come to terms with like, okay, it's okay to love these people from afar and create space and like forgive them and pray for them and be for them, but they don't have to get a space in my everyday life. So yeah, it was a healing journey. And I think establishing what I believed to be true and what I knew was not true helped me take those little steps.
Yeah. I love that you said that about like grief separates, kind of like it separates that. But I also yes. think I've seen celebration separate that too.
Yes.
Where you hit a high and you're like, yes. And people are like, cool.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I thought you would be here with me. Like, I thought you would carry this with me. And they're like, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah. I think that there's boundaries in both. And I think that grief is such a, it's something that I just it's just something that I care so deeply about because we don't talk enough about it in the church. I honestly believe, because it's just like, oh, you're sad. Okay, give it to the Lord. And it's like, okay, but like, what does that look like?
Yes, that is, I mean, that has become such a passion of mine. Is like, I grew up in the church, and yeah, there's all these like churchy phrases like that. Give it to the Lord. And it's like, okay, but like when I wake up tomorrow, what does that look like? Like, what do I do? How do I do that? What do you mean, give it to the Lord? And so that's kind of been a journey that I've been on. It's like creating resources for women who are in that grieving space to like, okay, this is what it looks like to put one foot in front of the other. This is what you do tomorrow when you feel like you can't get out of bed. And because grief.
And your faith stands no matter, like, your faith is still intact if you wake up tomorrow and it's back in, on your plate.
Yes.
Like, I think that that's what shook me so bad. I was like, no, I gave this to the Lord. I gave it to him and it's still here. Like, why am I still feeling so deeply? I gave it to God.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I was supposed to do. And it's like, it's like that continual thing. And then it's a little bit lighter and it's a little bit lighter and it's a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
And then one day you're like, oh, it's not so hard for me to hand this over anymore. But it still lives with us. That grief, like, it kind of marks us. You know, I'm a big Disney fan.
Yes.
And it reminds me of Moana.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean,
it stays with us.
Yeah. I mean, I say like all the time, I mean, the scars are still there from infertility and they will be there forever. I mean, there's been a lot of healing, but healing doesn't mean that the scars are not there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that you use your scars to minister to others.
Thank you.
It's so beautiful, Megan, for real.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
If you're single and looking to date but don't know where to start, it's time to check out Upwork. Upwork is a new, free app that is super easy to use. You can create a profile in just minutes, and before you know it, you'll be chatting with other Christian singles near you. Ready for a partner that puts faith first? Then it's time to check out Upwork. That's UPWARD. Download the app and find your match today.
And I know that there's this whole sisterhood that you lead now and that you love on and that you champion, because to walk this road alone, I'm sure, is very common because, one, your body failed you.
Right.
And who wants to be the one that stands up and says, like, hi, my body has failed me again and again and again. And yet you stand up and say, okay, my body failed me. Here we go. Like, let's link arms. Let's do this together. So tell us about, like, the sisterhood and the friendship that you've kind of cultivated.
Yeah. So, I mean, I truly believe this is a huge reason why I went through infertility, because it has led me here. And I started a ministry called the Infertility Sisterhood. And because this is a journey that so many people do alone. And with the whole fundraising thing, like, you can't fundraise if you're not willing to share why. And so part of that was we shared our story in the middle of it. And it was very rare. Like, there were some people talking about infertility at the time, but mostly from a place of the other side. Like, I have my happy ending. So, oh, by the way, we went through infertility to get here. And so I really wanted to share in the middle of it before we knew how the story was going to end. And thousands of people just, like, rallied around us to pray for us and signed up for our email updates and, like, just really carried us through the storm. And I fully believe that my boys are here because of the prayers of so many. But because of that, I had people reaching out all the time, like asking me questions and sharing with me for the first time, like no one other than their spouse knew. And I'm like, wow, okay. So it just, God put on my heart this dream to create an online safe space for women walking through infertility that was faith-based. Like, let's pray for each other. Let's create a space where you feel safe to share what you're walking through, like the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like, let's share it here and let's come alongside each other and help carry each other through the storm. And my prayer is that people who are on the other side jump into this space and use their story to help somebody else, because I think that's such a huge part of ministry work and just life. Like, when you reach the top of the mountain, you have a decision as you go down the mountain. Like, I can either keep what I've learned to myself, or I can share my testimony and reach my hand back and help somebody else. And yeah, that's what I want for my life, is to use the pain. And it, to me, it just brings beauty. It is the beauty from the ashes. And yeah, it makes the pain so worth it, because there's fruit, you know? And yeah, so, yeah, I created this online space for women walking through infertility and women on the other side. And it's just a space that we love each other, and we have a podcast. And yeah, I think infertility is a place that people get stuck in all the areas. And so that is just a really huge passion of mine, is to help women get unstuck.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, I have a couple like solid questions. How many marriages are wrecked by infertility?
A lot. I have no statistic
number. I know. I don't either.
A lot. I mean, it is such a huge thing that tears people apart, because it's so easy to play the blame game, and it's hard to like allow your spouse to grieve differently. And if you don't tell anybody else, like, that's a lot of pressure to put on your spouse, of like, they're the only person that you talk to about it. So then it feels like all your conversations are about this, and that's hard. Okay. So
if I have a friend walking through infertility, what is the best way for me to love her?
It's a really good question. I have a wonderful resource on my website, the Infertility Sisterhood, that details this out. But I would say the number one thing that you can do is just listen. Just listen. I think in those moments, we want to say the right thing or do the right thing, and then we get stressed out because we don't know what that right thing is.
Yeah.
And we want to fix it for them, and we want to take the pain away. But just recognizing that nothing you say or do can fix this, and you just need to listen, ask questions and listen and validate her pain and say, I'm sorry, that sucks. Like, mm-hmm. I think that was like a huge gift to me, when people didn't try to minimize my pain, but instead validated it. That felt really nice.
Yeah. What is the one thing or a couple things that we should never say to our friend walking through infertility?
I would say, like, we should stop asking the question of when you're gonna have kids in general. But to somebody walking through infertility, like, everything happens for a reason. Just relax, or it's gonna happen in God's time. Because none of those things are actually true. Like, the Bible doesn't say everything happens for a reason. Doesn't mean God doesn't know it's going to happen. Right. And it doesn't, like, mean that he can't bring this, like, make good, bring this, you know, the verse talks about, like, I can't remember what verse it is, but, like, that he's going to work all things,
yes,
to the good of those who love him. But that doesn't mean that this happens for a reason. And yeah, also, like, the whole, you know, God's going to give you, or it's going to happen, you know, in God's time, or like, I don't know if we're reading the same Bible, but like, God doesn't promise us babies. So that's not in fact true. Like, his answer for some people is no, forever.
Yeah.
And so you're giving false hope. And then, like, the whole just relaxing comment, it's like, actually, no, there's something medically going on. And, like, there is a medical issue here. And relaxing actually has nothing to do with why we can't get pregnant. But thank you for your expert medical opinion.
Well, and do you love that saying that said, like, nobody's ever relaxed by somebody telling them to relax?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, please. Like, or they love to tell stories like, oh, well, like, if you just adopt, like, then.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Like, I know so-and-so, like, she adopted and then she got pregnant. I'm like, okay, so are you telling me, like, that's scientific fact? Like, something to do with me adopting is going to get me pregnant? Like, no, that is how God wrote her story. And that doesn't make it fact that it's going to happen for everybody else. And, like, the whole, like, just adopt thing is so just an awful thing to say because.
Well, and I was going to ask about that, too. Like, people are like, oh, you're walking through infertility. And then their next question is, why don't you adopt? It's like.
Yeah.
Like, and that's, I'm a big advocate on, like, if you're not called to adopt, don't freaking adopt.
Yes.
Because it's hard.
It's
infertility.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a broken situation. You're putting a broken person in a broken situation. Like, adoption in and of itself is a broken situation because, it's a beautiful thing that God is redeeming through adoption, but it's broken because their birth family cannot raise them or is not equipped to raise them or for whatever the situation is. Like, adoption occurs out of brokenness and infertility. A person who is in that broken state of infertility is not in a place that they are ready to take on a broken situation. Yeah. And it's not to say that if you don't, like, if you've walked through infertility that you shouldn't adopt, but, like, you need to heal first. Yeah. And then let God call you down that path. Then if that's where the Lord is leading, yes, go for it. But, like, adoption is not a fix for infertility.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful way to say that. And I think I love what you said. And this is like a soapbox I'll stand on for the rest of my life because I get to. But also, like, adoption is not plan A for the child, for the birth family, for anybody. It is not plan A. It is plan F. Like, it's just, it's not the way we should start. And I agree. Like, brokenness into brokenness is just, it's dangerous.
Yeah. No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And it's just really a lack of education.
And it's like you said, it's somebody trying to fix the problem for you instead of just listening and loving.
Yeah. It's like, no, like, I understand what the avenues are to a baby. Thank you. But it's not what I'm asking for. Like, yeah. Yeah. I could go off on a tangent on that, but.
But I think those are great things for us to check because I have a couple of friends who are, just, you know, like early, probably like right at 30. And they're married, and I have made it my goal to never ask them when they're having babies.
Yeah.
When people get married, I don't think we should ask. I think we should stop asking people that.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You don't, maybe they don't want children, and that's an embarrassing thing for them to say or a hard thing for them to say, especially to someone who has many children.
And, like, newsflash, it's none of our business, you know?
Also, yeah.
Like, if we're not doing life with them, I mean, it's different. I think if you're, like, really doing life with them and you're just checking in, like, hey, are y'all good? Like, not saying that this is like it is a natural next step after a marriage that a lot of people take, but that doesn't mean it's for everybody. And I think it's fine to, like, check in with somebody that you're doing life with, but rando at the, you know, grocery store or the party that you see them at, like, no, you don't get to ask me that.
Yeah. And I would even rephrase how we ask them, like, are you guys having, like, hey, what's your family plan?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What's, like, how do you guys plan to, like, what's your next 5 years look like even?
Yeah.
Just, I think we should just rephrase that. Cause basically we're just asking people, like, how often are you having sex?
Right.
What?
Right.
No, I don't want to know.
Or are there any problems going on? Like,
I know.
Yeah.
How's your body medically?
I know, it's a very weird question if you really think about it.
It is. Okay, Megan, give us the quick and as quick or as long-winded as you want to be about your book, because this was not a quick project. I know that.
Yes.
So tell us about your book.
Yeah. So it's called Give Grace, How to Embrace the Beauty of Life's Brokenness. And my desire for the book was to share my story, but share it in a way that whatever hard thing you're walking through, it's going to meet you there. And you're going to like feel me grab your hand through the pages and help pull you through to the other side. And even if that means just like helping you get up today and like put one foot in front of the other, that is my desire for the book, that you're going to, your pain is going to feel seen and validated. And I'm going to help you put one foot in front of the other and get to the, that mountaintop and the other side. And yeah, it's beautifully designed. All the credit goes to HarperCollins. They did a fantastic job. And it has like journaling sections and a lot of scripture. I mean, you're going to find truth, God's truth in that book. It's not sugar-coated. And but I hope that I share the gospel through my story and through my words in the book in a way that feels like relatable and honest. And yeah, I think it will encourage you no matter what hard thing you're walking through. I think it will encourage you. And that is like the greatest compliment that I have received from people reading the book is like, I have never walked through infertility, but this encouraged me so much. I'm like, that was my desire for this book. And to hear that spoken over me, that I accomplished that, I'm like, praise God.
Yeah. And so this is not just an infertility book, but this is a great gift to give somebody who maybe just walked through a miscarriage.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great book for somebody walking through infertility, but it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I think no matter what hard thing, people reach out to me a lot, like about, hey, I have a friend going through this. What do I get them? And I'm like, this, you get them this, and it will very much encourage them.
I love that. I love your heart for encouraging our friends because I feel like so much of our heart can be to fix, right? Yes. Because we don't want our friends to hurt. We don't want them to be walking through hard seasons. We want to fix, fix, fix. I know that I walked that with like friends walking through marriage stuff. I'm like, let's fix it.
Right.
Let's just put like, whether it's put a band-aid on it and walk or what. But I think that sometimes we're called to sit in that hard stuff for a while.
Yeah.
And we're not called to fix it, but we're called to give grace to the situation and to deepen our faith and to deepen our relationships with people. In more than anything, our relationship with God.
Yeah.
I know when I walk through hard times, that's when I am the closest with the Lord, because it's hard, right? Yeah. Like we walk through those hard times and that's when we're like, oh gosh, I really do need you now. Yes. And he's like, well, I've been here the whole time.
I know.
When you're happy to.
I know. I think too, like the Christian world can get so caught up in truth, and like we are called as believers to be full of grace and full of truth, like not half and half, but full of both. And so like, yes, I like we 100% should stand on truth, but I believe that is not how we reach people. Like we do not reach the lost by slapping them over the head with truth. Like grace is that bridge. I believe that is how we access people's hearts. And then we can share truth with them. But I think grace is the first step to reaching the lost and people who think they're saved and they're not. I just think like the church just wants to beat people over the head with truth. And it's like, no, you're really missing the mark here. Like not to say that what you're saying is not true, but like that is not the first step. Like that is not how you access people's heart. And it's never gonna create change.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, you have people who are just grace, grace, grace.
Yes.
No truth.
Right. Right. And that's not right either. I mean, at a certain point,
it has to be both.
Yeah. I mean, we are called to be full of both. Like, yeah, you cannot be all grace and no truth either. And it's funny. I'm trying to teach my kids this concept and we do our hands, like we're full of grace and full of truth. And sometimes we say like, sorry, boys, there's no grace today. And so sometimes like the boys will ask like, mommy, is there grace today or no grace today? again, I'm like trying really hard. I mean, they're challenging me to like really verbalize this and live it out. And it's hard to explain these things to an almost 4-year-old.
I know. Well, and we are an amazing church that is baptizing people and the gospel is shared every single Sunday. And it's such a beautiful thing. And then we have Zoe, who we're explaining death, burial, resurrection, and living a new life and walking for Jesus and living for Jesus, all in sign language.
Very difficult.
I'm sure. Very difficult. I'm sure.
And she's like, yeah, no, it's fine. I'm like, well, I don't think you understand this, but okay, we're going to keep, every week, we're just going to keep explaining.
Yeah.
How are you giving yourself grace today?
I feel like I am juggling a lot right now. We are in the middle of some big business shifts and mm-hmm. I just have a lot of things on my plate. I have a business. I'm trying to launch this book. I have my infertility ministry. I'm a mother. I'm a coach's wife. I have a big family in Texas that I love dearly, and it's very important to me to be an active part of their life, even though I live 10 hours away. And so some days it feels like a lot. And I think where grace comes in is just like, today I need to do my best, and that's it. Like, if I can't get all the things done today, there's grace in that. Like, there is hope prayerfully tomorrow. And, yeah, like I can do all I need to do today is my best with what's on my plate, and then leave the rest for tomorrow.
Yeah. And is that the same as truth? Like, how are you walking in truth then too? Because that kind of seems truth to me. Like,
yeah,
I can get what I can get done today. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is like the facts of the situation, that I am like one person and I can only do so much. And I think too, like the truth comes in where like, I'm very passionate about my work, but the truth that I consistently remind myself of is that my family is my first ministry. And I cannot give my work my all and have nothing left for my husband and my kids. They have to come first, and they should get my best. And then my work should get everything else. And so that to me is like where the truth comes in, is like when my priorities get sidetracked, I'm like, okay, no, Megan, like this is the most important work that you will ever do. And this needs to be number one and above your work. And so, yeah, I do get my priorities misaligned sometimes. Oh. And so shifting back is a huge part of it.
I love that. Okay. We believe that there is a season for everything under the sun. Right now it's time for coffee. What is it time for in your own life? I know that you probably already shared a little bit of that with giving grace and giving truth, but like, what is it time for?
I would say like in a really practical sense, like we are entering summer, and my husband's a coach, teacher and a coach. So like we live for the summer because during the year he's gone a lot, and we kind of live like these two different lives, and we have our like school year life and then our summer life. And so in the Smalley family, it is time for fun, and we love to make summer really fun. Like, that is my number one goal in the summer, is to just have fun together. It doesn't have to cost money. It doesn't have to be fancy, yeah. Like, but I just want to bring the fun, and I want my kids to, like, be raised in a home that feels fun and joyful, yeah. Because I think fun is an extension of joy, and
For sure.
Yeah. So it's where school's out for summer, and it is time for fun in the Smalley house.
I love that. That's so fun. I love summer, and it, like every like mid July, I start panicking. Did we do enough? Did we have enough fun? Are we ready? Can we go back? What else do I need to do? I do that at spring break too. Like by Thursday, yeah. I'm like, do we have enough fun? Do we rest enough? What did we do? So
fun. That's good.
I love that.
Yeah, I have realized a lot. I mean, both times I've had babies, the newborn stage is hard because, you know, you're just like pouring out so much of yourself into this new little baby. And that makes marriage hard because I don't have much left to give. And yeah. I've realized just in my marriage, like something I lean on Blake a lot for is to bring the fun. Like he is just fun. Like, that is one thing that I love about him. And he, when he comes in the house and he brings the fun, it lifts me up so much. And so, yeah, we talk about that a lot. Like, are you bringing the fun or not?
Yeah. Are you feeling fun today? Because I need you to make it to bedtime.
Yeah. I need you to, like, go back in our room and deal with whatever's going on in your heart and come out and bring the fun.
That's so good. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Okay. Where can we find you? Where can we get your book? You have a journal that's a great companion for this as well.
Yes.
Tell us where we can find everything.
You can find everything on my website, megansmalley.com. You can find me on Instagram at megansmalley. You'll find the links for all the things there. That's become my home for all the things that I do.
It's the easy one. It really is.
Yes. Yes. It's the easy
one. Megan, thanks for being such a good friend.
Thank you for having me. This has just been a treat for me.
Y'all, I just love Megan's heart for community and the reminder that we are not alone in anything that we are battling. I hope that you'll go out and buy her book. You can grab it on the Amazon store that's linked in my Instagram bio. This book is so beautiful. It's so full of truth, and it's a great gift for a friend going through a rough time, or for yourself as you battle whatever God's bringing you through. And what do you say? Let's make a deal. Let's stop asking people when they're going to get pregnant. It's a strange question to ask, right? I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.